we do accept historic practices, I think going back about 4 years. So if you did make a change within about the last 4 years, you should reach out to us and see if those historic practices actually qualify for a payment.
Welcome back to Around the Farm, the podcast about all things ag. I'm Julie Bonk, Content Marketing Specialist at Climate Field View, and today I'm joined by Andrew Starr. Andrew, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I sure can. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on this side of the camera for the first time for Around the Farm. But as you mentioned, Andrew Starr, I'm the brand marketing lead for Foreground by Bayer and our ecosystem services business unit. I've been at Bayer for like 4 or 5 years now, and I'm having a blast. So,
can you tell us a little bit about the Bayer ecosystem services? Like, what does that entail? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it's like, what do you mean ecosystem? Like, that could mean a lot of different things. And obviously, as Bayer, and we care first and foremost about our farmers and being able to provide solutions to farmers to be able to be profitable and farm long run, right? We know it's not even just about this generation, it's about the next generation coming up too. And so our ecosystem services business, which is kind of its own separate business unit, is really focused on finding ways that farmers can profit by adopting regenerative ag. And so like what regenerative ag is obviously a little bit of a buzzword in the industry, you'll hear it a lot, but in particular, we're talking about reducing tillage, adopting cover crops, and then we added actually a nitrogen reduction offer this year as well. And there's a lot of outcomes, you know, that come from that. One big one for farmers in general, and I was going to say the farming industry, is improvement of soil health. That's what's big for us first and foremost with this.
All right. And so when you're talking about this ecosystem of services, like what would a farmer know this as?
Up until today, we've mostly called them carbon programs. I think it's a little bit of a limiting term, but in a sense, it's a very simple way to think about it. You know, if I'm going to make some changes on my farm, if I'm going to do strip till or no till or adopt cover crops, and then obviously even some nitrogen reduction pieces to that, that's helping sequester carbon into the soil, increase organic matter, right? And because it does that, that creates an opportunity for organizations, especially agri-food companies that want to reduce their carbon footprint. They've budgeted and allocated to support that. And they know that the farmers are doing the work. And so we as Bayer come in to do the data processing and verification type work, do the soil sampling to make sure it's verifiable and credible, right? All the back-end science. If you think about all the science and R&D and all the soil science and agronomics work we do as Bayer, we think we're uniquely positioned to be able to do and offer that to farmers.
So Bayer is an intermediary between the companies who are looking for carbon offsets or to reduce the overall carbon footprint. Bayer goes between those companies and the farmers and verifies the practices that they're doing.
Yes, essentially that's right. It includes things. So if you're on the farmer side of it, it's obviously the important piece of the verification, the soil sampling, being able to prove out that you did what you said you were going to do, and that we then create carbon credits, we're able to say, look, this is verifiable. We know the amount of carbon that's actually been sequestered in these soils. That's why soil sampling is important. And then you've got to package that up and sell that as either a carbon offset credit or as part of an inset, which means directly in the supply chain of an agri-food company known as Scope 3 emissions. And that has value. That has value today. Obviously, with climate change and other things like that, we need to be sequestering more carbon and finding ways to offset carbon in supply chains. And, you know, that's one piece of it. The other piece of it to farmers through like our Foreground by Bayer platform is to provide agronomic resources. We have a team of agronomists that are available to all the growers in our program. We offer discounts on various types of equipment and things like that that they would need to implement changes. And then we have a whole online portal where they can, you know, import their FieldView field data, look at all these things, see the programs they're enrolled in, you know, check their options, that type of thing. So we try to make it as easy and accessible as possible.
So you said foreground there, right? So can I just get a little bit of a bird's eye view? Like, what's the difference between foreground by Bayer and a Bayer carbon program? Are they the same thing? What's the line?
So foreground by Bayer is kind of our overarching program. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, it's like this is more than just carbon and carbon credits. And foreground is kind of this umbrella program that recognizes both where we are today and where this is going. So we have the Bayer Carbon Program, and from time to time, we actually have other programs where we're supporting various players within the supply chain that farmers might get access to, depending on, you know, the geography and different things like that. But I would think of foreground as where I can go, I can check out all these various resources, I can contact my local agronomist if I need support or help, or even have questions with my current plan on things. I can get access to discounts. Even just being a member of Foreground, as we call it, it gets you access to a FieldView discount code. I know FieldView's offered some new tiers this year and some new product features and things like that. You can get access to a discount on FieldView through Foreground. And then you can evaluate those carbon program offers when you're in Foreground and then decide if this is a specific program I want to enter that makes sense for my farm.
So foreground works both for companies and it works for growers. But for companies, it's a little bit different of an access point to the marketplace than farmers, right? Farmers can just sign up directly through foreground and start auditing or looking at the different options available to them. How does that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if I'm a food and beverage company and I'm working with Bayer kind of on our ecosystem services side, I get access to the growers that are in foreground. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the grower has all of the power and all of the choice, whether they share their data or not. That's always kind of a commitment we have. But we provide them offers based on, you know, what they're planting, where they live, and then make those connections to companies that many times are looking to make good on regenerative ag commitments and scope 3 emission reduction commitments if they're sourcing a lot of the commodities our farmers are growing, right? So that in many cases, corn, beans, wheat, that type of thing, we've actually expanded the crops that are eligible for the Bayer Carbon Program this year. We're hoping to continue to be able to do that. But then companies can talk. We have a whole separate team that is interfacing with agri-food companies to say, all right, tell us about your goals. Let's figure out a real way to get there on substantial acres, right? Let's go beyond just a test and learn into something that makes a significant impact as part of your ESG reporting, as part of your sustainability commitments, that type of thing.
So why should growers care about the Bayer Carbon Program?
I think growers should care because the idea of regenerative ag isn't going anywhere, but I actually think that this is something that's extremely positive for farms across the country because this is rooted in long-run soil health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know this starts and ends in the soil, right? And the idea of regenerative ag, I think, is positive throughout the industry, up and down the supply chain. And it's got to work for farmers first and foremost. And most companies realize this. Most policy realizes this, and we certainly encourage them to realize this. So it's got to work for farmers. It has to make sense economically in addition to agronomically. And that's really what we're trying to push in our Bayer Ecosystem Services business. It needs to be market-based. It needs to be a long-run program. And it's got to work for farmer economics.
So we spoke to Ben Rung, who works for Foreground in Missouri.
Hi, I'm Ben Runge. I'm sustainable systems agronomist based in St. Joseph, Missouri, working for Foreground by Bayer. And really, my role is all around end-to-end grower experience from enrollment all the way through payment in our carbon program.
So we put that question to Ben, like, why should farmers care? And this is what he had to say.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great question. You know, why would this be important to growers moving forward? You know, one of the big things is we've known for time immemorial, growers have been paid for what they farm, right? But now is an opportunity to be paid for how they're farming. And so not only is there monetary opportunity in implementing some of these regenerative ag practices like reduced tillage and cover crops, but there's also the other benefits, right, that are direct impacts to their farming operation, whether that's improved water infiltration, better nutrient management, better soil health from a microbiology standpoint in their soil. There's countless benefits that have been proven time and time again to implementing regenerative ag practices. And so in addition to the monetary opportunity, there's the tangible benefits that they get from implementing these practices on their farms.
You know, Ben brought up a pretty good point there, right? It's not just getting paid for what you farm, but what he's talking about here is getting paid for how you farm.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what's kind of cool about that too is that, and really what we believe in behind this is opening up another revenue stream for farmers and really hopefully be able to diversify that income.
And ultimately, the idea here is that soil health doesn't just pay once, right? It keeps paying. These regenerative practices, these nitrogen-reducing techniques, they go into a soil that's going to be more profitable next season, the season after that, et cetera.
Exactly. I like the term profitable, too.
Profitable.
You know, is it profitable or profitable?
I think you could really make the argument. I think that anytime that you're going to structure a word in that way, I think it is beneficial to put the stress on the able,
like
not the second syllable.
I like it. I'm gonna. It's like process and process, right?
Or equitable.
Okay.
Because people will say equitable, but.
what do I say besides that?
So equity when we're talking about it. Where you're putting the stress in the word, you want to put it equitable. Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be the most exciting part of the podcast.
Financial.
Exactly.
What's another one?
I have no idea.
Success. What's the one that you just said?
Process and process.
Process is clearly superior.
But my shirt says Midwestern on it, so it's process.
Is it Midwestern?
And it's niche. Niche or niche?
I think it's niche.
It's niche.
Niche?
Niche.
It's definitely not niche.
It's niche. In the Midwest.
Niche.
All right, let's get back into it. So how does the Bayer Carbon Program differ from other organizations, other programs that are similar?
I think first and foremost, it is around like a practice-based program versus an outcome-based program. So we as Bayer take essentially the risk away from farmers in this and say, how much carbon will that soil sequester? Well, that's a big variable and it's a big what if. So we pay per practice. So that means a per acre payment that's a little bit more certain. So you know from day one, if I complete this and I do what I say I'm going to do, you know exactly what you'll earn and you'll be able to plan around that. And so I think that's a huge benefit to farmers, knowing there's so many other things you have to deal with. Prices go up and down. This at least gives you a steady idea of what I'm going to earn year after year.
So there's so many variables that farmers deal with, like, is there going to be a drought this year? You know, like, are we going to get enough rain? Are there going to be mites, et cetera? And this kind of takes out all of those extra variables, because it's like, if you show up, if you do your job, then Bayer's going to respect that. Because it's practice-based, not outcome-based.
Exactly.
All right.
That's exactly right.
So just to summarize, so Bayer Carbon Program is a practice-based program, while other programs might be more outcome-based.
Yeah, and just like anything else, farmers need to weigh their options and look into different alternatives. But I think that there makes a lot of sense in going with a practice-based program that has a set per acre payment. And the other thing is we've committed that as the price of carbon grows, we'll share the upside in the growth of that carbon. So, you know, it can only go up from here in terms of our per acre payment.
That's good to hear. So I know we did speak to Ben on that topic, and here's what he had to say about practice versus outcome-based programs.
Yeah, so in a practice-based program like the Bayer Carbon Program, you are essentially being paid for implementing a practice, not on an outcome that is hard to determine in your soil. So for instance, in an outcome-based program, you're going to be paid for the amount of carbon sequestered, but you may not know what that is up until, you know, soil samples are taken and all the evidence collection is completed. In a practice-based program like the Bayer Carbon Program, you know what you're going to be able to take to the bank.
So to your point, you know, it takes away those variables. It makes it more certain. Like a farmer knows when they go into their field and when they're planning out what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be getting for those practices. When we think about lining up the different programs, right, looking at the marketplace, you mentioned something to me before this recording about program stacking.
Yes.
What is program stacking?
Now, Ben is going to be our expert when it comes to program stacking. So I can give you kind of a general overview. And really, in any sense, if you're looking at stacking kind of sustainability programs, you probably need to talk to one of our agronomists to just make sure that all of it kind of qualifies. Because some of them are government programs and other types of things through NRCS and that type of thing. But the short story is, if you're making practice changes like cover crops, adding no-till or strip-till, there could be different water conservation programs that recognize that. Certainly the Bare Carbon Program recognizes that. So you could get kind of both sides of it and stack those sustainability programs. And essentially that would allow you to increase your payments each year.
So basically, if I were to summarize, it's like there's one offering from one organization and there's another offering from another organization, and you may be able to qualify for both of them. But by going through a foreground specialist, you can make sure that you're not double dipping, because if they're both coming from like perhaps the same source or the same governing entity, then you might not be able to double dip on them. And that's where foreground comes in, and they have the experts that say you can do this program and this program combined, A and B, but you may not necessarily be able to do A and C.
Right. That's exactly right. And it takes a little bit of exploratory work, but the nice thing is once you have it and once you understand where you're at with those things, then it's moving forward. It's like kind of like that allows you to set your strategy, what your access, what you can actually access, and then move forward with it. Obviously, if it's a program that creates some kind of carbon credit, you can't stack that because it would be claiming the same thing. But if it's a program that's more around water quality or something else, then very likely it could be stacked and you have two or multiple income opportunities off of that.
So as you mentioned, Ben's kind of our go-to expert about the program stacking. So here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, well, the one thing is to make sure that you're completely investigating all the possibilities out there. Take time to understand not only the carbon markets and the carbon programs that are offered through private companies, but understand how the impact from some of these USDA grants and some of these other programs out there that have been around for years, like NRCS EQIP, where there's stacking opportunities available. That's a way that you can maximize revenue on the farm without compromising your operation and without compromising any one of the opportunities that are available to you. So it's something that should be thoroughly investigated. You know, talk to your folks at your NRCS or FSA office. And then also, you know, make sure that you have somebody available on the phone to you through that carbon program before you enroll, so that you can ask those questions and ensure that you've got confidence that what you're signing up for isn't going to put your other revenue streams in jeopardy. Bare Carbon Program offers people that you can talk to at any time of the day, day or night, where you can understand, have a better understanding of how our program is stackable with programs that you may already be participating in.
So to Ben's point, we've seen all different types of programs being offered, and it's kind of challenging for a farmer to know just offhand what's going to work and what's not going to work. So it's really helpful to have those foreground specialists that you can talk to day or night to see what you qualify for and what would work for your farm.
What I'm curious, and they told us day or night, but how late at night will they answer their phone? I think we should test this sometime.
Oh, yeah, just give them a ring at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm thinking about carbon at 3 a.m.
I'm sure that they would find that to be just as entertaining as you would.
They might take that call. We'll find out. We'll ask Ben. Ben's around somewhere. We'll find out what he thinks about that.
Give Ben a call at 3 a.m.
I might.
You might just have to.
I'm like, Ben, I need a per acre payment on my carbon program. I might stack it. What are you doing right now?
Can you pull up the platform and help me know if it can stack or not? So it's pretty useful to be able to have that kind of support, considering that ever since Foreground launched, the program offerings have been growing and changing.
Yeah, I think that's what's exciting about this space, is that it is growing, but at the same time that presents challenges, because there's a proliferation of offers within this space and they all have slightly different terms and conditions and things like that. So I would suggest any farmer that's looking at this space and is interested in carbon programs and that type of thing to just do your homework, look at the options that are available to you. That's one reason why I really like the fact that we make our agronomists available to farmers to at least run their options. I mean, they're pretty objective guys. They live in a lot of these communities. They're not going to just enroll a farmer in something just to say. There is no incentive for them.
Yeah, there's no quota for them.
There's no quota, right. other than when they think it's the right thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense to at least talk to somebody. Obviously, our agronomists are available and great sources of information.
So Ben spoke to that same note that you were bringing up that, you know, it's growing and the projections of that growth in the industry. Here's what he had to say.
Just a few years ago, from 2020 to 2021, we saw as much as 4x in the growth in 1 year's time of the carbon market space and ended up being a $2 billion business by 2021. Haven't seen those projections go from 21 to 22 or beyond yet, but we know that they've since grown. And we see the potential for the carbon markets and related ecosystem services to be, you know, valued somewhere in the $190 billion range by 2030. So there is a lot of projections out there that saying this thing is only going to continue to grow as companies try to, as companies look for different ways to mitigate their environmental footprints.
So with all of the growth and the different opportunities, would you say that right now is a good time for farmers to start looking at it? Or what would you say for someone who's considering looking into some sort of carbon program?
Yeah, I think now is a great time. Obviously, maybe not right now if you're in the field planting. But mm-hmm. you know what? Maybe there's some time from the cab to make a phone call or check out one of the links. But in general, yeah, I think the market is starting to mature. It's getting to a place where we're starting to see some really good offers out there. And I think it's time to, you know, it makes a lot of sense for farmers to start exploring their options there.
So shout out to the listeners who are definitely in the cab at this very moment, right? It is planting season right now. And if you've got the time, if you've got a couple extra hours in the cab right now, it might not be a bad time to call up your foreground rep and just see what's out there.
Yeah, exactly. My question is, can you run both this podcast and cab app at the same time?
Well, if you've got multiple devices, which I'm sure they do.
All right.
Because the cab app, that's going through their iPad. And then they've got us pulled up, perhaps on their smartphone.
Okay.
I don't know. Leave a comment. Let us know how you're listening. more than interested in hearing about that. If you're in the business of turning stones, trying to figure out how you can grow the most revenue for your operation, I think it would be safe to say that this is a stone that you shouldn't leave unturned.
Yeah, I think farmers are usually in the business of taking stones out of their field. But I guess, thank you, yeah. But in this sense, yeah, this is something you want to explore, right? There's a lot of these programs and opportunities on the table. It's an opportunity to bring a new revenue stream to your farm based on the farming practices, like not just what you're growing, but how you're growing it, as Ben talked about earlier. And you know, our commitment and really our goal is to deliver these market-based programs and hopefully, as the market matures, be able to increase revenue payouts to farmers over time.
And to that note, we talked to Ben a little bit about diversifying the revenue streams on a farm. And here's what he had to say.
One thing that we've all unfortunately seen is that, you know, net projections on net farm income are down as much as 25% for year over year. And so, you know, now's a great time to take advantage of new revenue streams, but also have the confidence that as the market grows, you're not missing out on future opportunities for expanded offerings and expanded revenues. So right now is a great time to get in, especially where you're looking to diversify the revenue streams on your farm, given the lower commodity prices and things that we're seeing in the marketplace right now.
So, Andrew, can you tell us a little bit about some of the landscape of the changes to the foreground program over, I don't know, the last couple of months? What are the variables or what are the big changes that you've seen?
Yeah, actually, down at Commodity Classic, we announced our 2024 program, and we've increased the number of states up to 28 states now. We've increased the number of crops that are eligible within the program. I mentioned the nitrogen offer. So if you commit to reducing your nitrogen by 5% and add an inhibitor, there is a payout program for that as well. You know, I think we continue to support access to agronomic resources and those types of things that we've built into the program to help farmers that are making these changes and make changes that are right for their operation.
Yeah, so we talked to Ben a little bit about that, and he got into like the different crops and the contract lengths. And then he also talked a little bit about the pricing scheme. So it's down to like a per acre level of what kind of applications or practice that you're using. So let's hear him describe that.
You know, revenue streams are obviously top of mind when we talk about carbon programs. The Bear Carbon Program is a pretty simple and easy to understand offering, in that we offer $6 for reduced tillage practices like strip till or no till. And then we offer additional $6 per acre for cover crops. But then we also have a historical payment component in there, right? So if you've implemented the practices on or after August 1st of 2019, you can earn going back 4 years, right? So again, you know, on the math, the $6 for reduced tillage, $6 for cover crop, that's a potential of $12 per year. And then going back in historical payment, four years, you've got an opportunity to earn $48 per acre in your historical payment up front, and then $12 per acre per year after that.
Now that everybody's heard all of the good news about foreground, I'm sure that we've got some listeners who are eager to get started. Where could they go to learn more?
The best place is going to be bareforeground.com. Go there, check it out.
And they'll have like an opportunity there to call someone or chat with somebody live and see what the offerings look like in their state, if they're in one of those 28 states? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's like a number of ways you can reach out and contact us through there. If you're so inclined, it's pretty easy, especially if you have a FieldView account, just to get a free foreground account. There's never any charge for that. That gives you access to a lot of different things and benefits. And then it'll talk about your options in terms of carbon programs, the new nitrogen program, and those types of things. So if literally you have a FieldView account, it'll take you maybe 30 seconds.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, a guarantee from Andrew Starr. Uh-huh. 30 seconds.
That's right.
All right. I'll hold you to that.
Okay. Well, we'll test it out after the show and see what happens.
Timed circuit. So stay tuned for that. Anyways, before we head out today, I did want to ask you a little bit about your ensemble. Can you tell our audio-only listeners who you're wearing today?
This, Julie, is an Aaron Holbert original. So this is her Midwestern shirt. It's more Midwestern. It's stacked four times. Mm-hmm. And the best part for me is the lightning bolt is the eye.
So it says Midwestern four times and the eye is a lightning bolt.
Right.
And that's the part you like.
Right. I think it makes sense for planting season especially. We see a lot of storms and lightning, and we're Midwesterners, so we sit outside and watch it, right?
I've never been scared of a storm. It's true. All right. So shout out to Aaron Holbert for styling Andrew Starr on this fine day.
Thanks for the shirt.
Yeah.
That I paid for the record.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today for Around the Farm. Thanks, Andrew, for being our co-host special guest. Thank you for listening to Around the Farm, the podcast about all things ag. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. As always, Around the Farm is sponsored by Climate Field View. And until next time, we'll see you around the farm.